Welcome, everyone. Welcome back to the Education for Climate Talks. Today, I'm very happy to have with me Pramod Kumar Sharma from the Foundation for Environmental Education. Welcome, Pramod.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me to this talk.
So, Pramod, you are Senior Director of Education at FEE. You have a very, very long experience because, if I'm not wrong, you've been working for 23 years now in various positions. I'm currently so at the Foundation for Environmental Education, always on education for sustainable development. At the moment, you are responsible for the development of various programs of the Foundation for Environmental Education, such as Eco School, LEAF, and IERA, I don't know how to pronounce that, but you will tell us. So I would like to start the talk with you by trying to understand better where the foundation comes from, what were the objectives of the foundation, but also the history a bit, and obviously the successes it has certainly generated during all these years. Please.
Thank you. So the Foundation for Environmental Education was set up in 1981. It was an initiative of four people who came together, and when looking at the role of education to promote environmental conservation, the word sustainability was not there in 81. It only came in 87 and then was formalized as sustainable development in 92. So when they came together, they thought of how you can basically involve people and initiatives that can help the movement of conservation. And it started as Foundation for Environmental Education in Europe. So there were three E's in the beginning. And one of the first program they started with was Eco School, which was supported by European Union. And then gradually other programs also came in. And in 2001, South Africa joined the network, and then for the first time the programs went beyond Europe, and the last E in the Foundation for Environmental Education of Europe was dropped, and it became Foundation for Environmental Education. So it's basically a network of NGOs or nonprofit in currently 82 countries, and we have 102 members who represent FI in their country or are implementing our programs. So we have two sets of programs as such. The first set works with tourism sector. They are both well-known labels. Blue Flag basically is the largest sustainability label that certify beaches on meeting certain standards of sustainability, and is very popular and very strong brand, I would say, in Europe and expanding globally as a tool for coastal zone management. The second one in tourism is called Green Key, which is the biggest label, covering more than 4,000 hotels and restaurants globally, and is growing in new markets around the world. The other three programs focus on young people. Eco School is the well-known program, almost in 75 countries, with around more than 50,000 schools being part of it. And then the other one is Young Reporters, which is focusing on thought leadership development amongst young people. And then it's unlike Eco School, it's focusing on youth to help them become voice for environment and train them on different ways or using different media to generate action around them on the issues that they are facing. And the third is learning about forests with a focus on outdoor education and connecting, or I will say reconnecting with nature in many cases. And these through five programs are the major tools through which we promote environmental education or education for sustainable development globally. And I would like to also highlight the fact that my position was created only in 2016, and there was no director of education at FI, and this itself is a recognition that when you need to drive and use environmental education and education for sustainable development, you need to get more people from educational background who are professional in this field of education into this field to bridge the gap. Mostly, this field is able to attract people from environmental or sustainability fields who are professional in one or the other issues of environment or sustainability, but very rarely it's able to attract people who describe themselves as educators. So this was also a recognition and realization. The current form of the foundation through its head office at Copenhagen was only set up in 2012. Because the network was growing, there was a realization that we need now a more professional, strategic approach to growth grow the program and the network and get and support countries, especially because we saw that most of the countries who were joining the program were coming from the down south or developing part of the world, and they needed more support and special. Packages to help be part of the network and run the program. And for that reason, the foundation also has a differentiated way of engaging in terms of costing or economy also, which allows it to be a very inclusive organization.
Thank you, Pramod. Thank you. That was very interesting. So we understand a bit better now where you come from. So born in 1981. So I put down a few things you've been saying because we had a discussion together to prepare so that talk. And so if the foundation was born in 1981, and if the Eco School program, as you said, was born in 94, the fact is that at the moment it covers 50,000-ish, around 60,000 schools in the world. Which is the, for instance, to give just a comparison, the amount of schools there are in France, and half the schools that exist in the States, if I'm not wrong. So it's also very interesting also to understand the scale, because as a nonprofit, you're one of the main actors really when it comes to good education, but still there's for sure a lot to do. So that brings me to the second question, Ahmad. It was the case. After listening to you for the foundation, a lot of things is happening. So even for your foundation, a lot of things is happening at the moment, of course, at world level, because all the education sector systems are facing the same challenge. So it's true that we can see and witness here and there a lot of initiatives that are being implemented. There's a lot of people reflecting, of course, on how to change things in order for the education system to fit better the targets of making the transition happen. So do you share the view? Do you think that there is something happening in a way, a window of opportunity, maybe even a political momentum? Do you share that view? And if yes, do you think that this translates into concrete action?
Yes, if you ask me, in the last 6 months, a lot of things have happened. And things now, what I see is happening very fast and rapidly. One of the biggest policy driver is the Greening Education Partnership, which has basically put education at the forefront with targets to achieve in front of the member states. And I see that as a great tool politically to scale up the education and its role in sustainability. Globally as such, with first target of achieving 50% schools with a accreditation like Eco School itself is a massive, massive uplift. If you would have asked me around a year back, these kind of numbers would have been only dreams kind of thing, because my personal target was that if we can reach 100,000 schools in next 2 years or 3 years, kind of from 50,000. And in the country that I come from, this means the country should have 700,000 schools by 2030. And that itself speaks about the situation we might be in different countries. We're talking about France and One of the my favorite question is that, do you know how many schools are part of the program in your country and what is your target? And people then start really looking at the numbers, and then they see that they are only covering 2%, 3%, or 1%. The numbers might look impressive currently, but when you put it in the context of the political will, if I say, in from Greening Education Partnership, is massive. But then it will also require just not intent, but also action, because it requires supporting schools with minimum facilities somewhere, which in form of water, sanitation, electricity connection. But in many places, it will also mean equipping them with better energy saving means, like better insulation, better heating, cooling, and all those things which are also required as part of both mitigation and adaptation solutions. Just imagine, think about that. Every school should have at least the principal and a teacher trained in globally around the world. That itself is an impossible task if we don't come together, pull ourselves and apply our mind, because it has to be out of a certain quality. Having said that, until now, I still think that it's still a lip service. Intention is there. A lot of awareness is there, and people know that action is required. But then when it comes to putting those actions into something which we at which is seen as a change, is very slow. It's moving very slow, I would say. And if UNESCO report said that only less than 50% countries have mention of climate change education, then that is a worry as such, because in my opinion, the education system is not updated, or I cannot call it a quality education if the issues which are essential in nature, which like climate change, pollution, or biodiversity, are not adequately covered in education system. That means it's outdated. And that is what I would looks like that this is a very strong statement. But if these issues are not there in any education system, that education system is at least 10 years or 15 years behind what it in terms of quality, and is not equipping the generation with the tools and means. And the other fact is also there is that traditionally education systems have not been very agile, but these environmental issues are changing at such a rapid rate that we need that agility also in our education system to be able to respond in a very short time. Hopefully with Greening Education Partnership, we will see some action, some traction, and also availability of resources, both from a financial point of view on one hand, time, space, and capacity building on the other hand.
Thank you so much, super interesting. So to sum it up, there are reasons to be optimistic, because a lot of people do understand that we need to change, but let's be realistic. There's still a lot to do. We keep in mind the 1.4 million schools of India, just to give a scale of what has got to be done. And that brings me to a third question. What do you recommend? What would be your suggestion, your concrete ideas to make change happen and to accelerate, of course, the necessity of the necessary transformation of education systems?
I think the first action that is required at national level is a task force that has people or experts from different ministries. Ministry of Education has to accept that this is an area that they should work upon. But then Ministry of Education has to come in as expert on education with Ministry of Environment as subject experts. And both these ministries need to work together to strengthen education for sustainable development in schools. That action number one. Second, it's education. And then when you say education, that means it has to have a certain structure in terms of a curricular framework, in terms of assessment strategies, in terms of certification or assessments, in terms of skills that teachers need to have to teach this subject. Those are all missing in most educational systems around the world, and those also need to be strengthened apart. So along with these two ministries coming together, they need to make sure that this gets a recognition as an area of learning, which means development of this. Yes, I agree, this is transversal subject, but it's still one should be able to answer a question like, because that's my favorite thing, is that okay, if you ask anybody, when should you teach addition of addition as such of single numbers, they will tell you which age, or which division, they will tell you which age. But when you ask when you should teach x thing, or for example the fact that carbon dioxide is the major greenhouse gas and is produced because of our own action, they won't be able to answer. Most teachers or educators won't be able to answer which is the right age or when kind of thing. Because when you have a curricular framework and recognition subject, then you also bring in the age appropriate learning of the concepts and action, and what action can be promoted at different age. You can teach the same concept to, I as an educational believe that you can teach any concept to any age, but the way, the depth and breadth will be different. And until that happens, it will be an add-on, it will be a choice, it will be an activity, or it will be an event, it will be a result of a champion who is there in the school, whether he's a principal or a parent or a teacher. It's happening because of that, but not because of systemic reasons.
Brilliant, thank you so much. So I keep in mind very much the task force you are referring to, but it has got to be transversal, which means that normally the ministry should try to find ways also to work together, which means that at the end of the day, I mean, education is not just normally something of concern for education ministries. Is it what you
want
mean?
And I want to also add, I see this also as a window of opportunity. For example, in communication, the leapfrogging has happened, for example, in telecommunication. We directly moved in African countries or in many parts of Asia, even India, from directly a landline approach, which had a limited scope of scaling up with mobile phones or mobile technology coming in, to scaling up and covering the entire country in a very short period of time. So there was a technology that came in. And similarly, I feel, because when we're talking of education for sustainable development or environmental education, and then solution orientation of it, it's not theory, it has to be seen in behaviors and action. What we are talking about, the fact that it is transversal education, the fact that teachers need to cooperate, a fact that it has to be a whole school approach, the fact that it requires active learning and project-based learning, it means that this can also impact quality education. Education that builds skills, does not give you facts or information that you don't know how, where to apply and how to apply. It basically puts you in a child in the center of action. And this is a unique opportunity to improve the quality of education. And this could be a leapfrogging moment in education. That is what I feel and believe strongly.
Thank you so much. I've written down a quote of Pramod Kumar Sharma, given in an interview very recently, who was telling us this. If you ask a school teacher what they are doing in environmental education, they will give you a list, which is exactly what you've been saying. We work on waste, we save energy, so we focus on facts and actions. But hardly any school will say they are changing the behavior of students. So they are giving skills to solve problems. And you said that at that point. You say we don't want education to happen by accident.
Yes. And that's what, when I say it has to be subject, it has to be by intent. What might be happening is because a lot of discussion is happening, and here when you don't have a curricular goal, and I remember somebody told me very early in my life, in a career, that if you don't have a destination, anywhere you reach is your destination. Is that what we want out of environmental education or ESD? Or we don't want to reach a particular destination or a port of call? So this is what we need to see, is that there are two approaches, whether we first shoot the arrow and then draw the circle around it to tell the world that we hit the bullseye, or you have the bullseye and then you hit it and then you know whether you are achieved it or not. I think we are doing the first. We are just firing our arrows or shooting our arrows and then putting the circles around it and saying that, oh, we have met the target.
That's a perfect conclusion. Thank you so much, Pramod.
Thank you, Chairman. It was nice interacting with you and share my thoughts.